Get your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 1 through 5. And I know there's folks out there that maybe they can't see this. Maybe they're not on Facebook. I'd appreciate it if they've got an email and you know it, you can email it to them through Facebook. Or if you'll let us know, we can print them off a CD. You know, they call it burn one. And we'll send us, I'll take the CD to them if I have to. But we want them to stay in touch. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 1 through 5. This is the third time that I'm coming to you, he says. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about examining or doing a spiritual test, testing yourself. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, even in these trying times. Thank you for taking care of us. You're our Savior. You're our keeper. You're our healer. You're our great physician. And Lord, we just ask you tonight that you bless the reading of your word. Encourage somebody. Maybe convict somebody. Maybe comfort somebody. And then Lord, maybe somebody might even be saved. And I pray tonight that as we examine ourselves, we do a spiritual checkup, that we'll be found to be in the faith. And whatever you do, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we ask, amen. Now that word reprobates means people that cannot believe because they would not believe. Now did you know everyone today, just about a lot of people, most people are thinking about getting an exam, a physical exam for this virus. Everyone's wondering, do I have it? I'm not showing symptoms. Do I have it? I'm not sick. Do I have the virus? I don't feel bad. Do I have the virus? I haven't been coughing. I haven't been sneezing. I breathe pretty good. Do I have the virus? And don't tell me you haven't thought about it. We all have. You go to eat and you think, did I wash my hands? You go into a store, you think, did somebody get this grocery cart that was sick and put his hands on this handle before I did? We even take our vegetables and fruit home and rewash them. We wash a can before we open it. I washed off two milk jugs the other day. I didn't know who had push those things around. I don't know how people go to drive-through restaurants and they get takeout food because I look in there and those people don't have on masks. They don't wear rubber gloves or anything. So we think about these things and we start doing examinations to ourselves. Every man's had a chest pain and swore he had a heart attack. Every time a man has a headache, he thinks, I must have a brain tumor. That's just the way men are. So we examine ourselves all the time, every day. We're looking at ourselves, examining ourselves. When the Apostle Paul was writing to those in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 here, if you'll remember, this is the same crowd that he wrote to in 1 Corinthians. And it was not the ideal church. If you want to read what not to do in church, read 1 Corinthians. He was chastising them. He was rebuking them and trying to straighten out error in doctrine and living and all those things. And now he's right in here. And he says, this is third time. This is third time I've had to write to you. And he said, I told you before, and I'll tell you right now, being absent, he said, I'm preaching to those that sinned. He said, there's some people there that have sinned. And those people are identified by their ways, by their company, by their conduct. And he said, besides that, all of you ought to do a spiritual examination. You ought to do a spiritual examination to see if you are in the faith and you're not a reprobate. Now, I thought a lot about this before. I preached this before, and I thought a spiritual examination by yourself, doing yourself, is a good thing. Now, if you do a physical examination by yourself, you may not be doing too good a job because you may not know what to look for. You're not a doctor. But if you do a spiritual examination of yourself, if you pass a test that you decide, I'm going to show you what the scripture says how to do that, that's a valuable thing. And so others, they examine us. They test us. Others identify us by our company that we keep and by the conduct that we live. God identifies us by the company that we keep or the conduct that we live. The Apostle Paul was saying that here. Apostle Paul was rebuking them. So we ought to examine ourselves, he says, to see if we are really believers or not. I've said it before, the biggest mission field in America, I think, is sitting in the pews of the churches of America. People go to church, but they've never thought about, well, am I saved? Do I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven? Living this way, acting this way, talking this way, dressing this way, behaving this way, this crowd I run with, am I even saved? I kind of look like the world and act like the world and sound like the world. Am I part of the world or am I part of God's family? So we have to examine ourselves. And listen to me, believer, but let's be honest. If we're trying to be a good Christian, we examine ourselves every day. We take a test every day. Now, I don't like tests. I'm not really good at tests. I get nervous under a clock ticking, telling me I got 10 minutes to do this test. But thank God I got a lifetime to do this test over and over and over. Now, well, what would be the test? Well, now, if I go to my doctor, Dr. Tuttle, he's a wonderful doctor, the first thing they're going to do, they're going to check my blood pressure. That's the first thing they'll do. The next thing they're going to do, they're going to listen to my heart. The next thing they're going to do, he's going to listen to my breathing, things like that. There's some basic things that he's going to do and that they're going to perform in that office for me a checkup. Or physical test or physical exam. So there ought to be some things in the Bible that the Bible, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, that we could apply these things to ourselves in order to test ourselves, examine ourselves spiritually to see if we're really saved, to see if we're really in the faith. Now, I know all of us is going to say, well, I know I'm saved because I feel it. I remember the day I got saved, March 5th, 1978. I come out of that prayer room with Wayne Henson. He had took me through the scriptures and prayed with me and helped me to pray and asked the Lord to forgive me and save me. And the Lord did. And I came out. I was on cloud nine and I was weeping. I was crying and I was so happy and I was so the burdens had been lifted and I was so excited about it. And Preacher Falkberry hugged my neck. He said, son, what'd you do? I said, I got saved. He said, how do you know? I said, I feel it. I did. I felt it. He said, but son, that's not how you know you're saved. You won't feel saved tomorrow. The devil's going to jump on you as soon as you leave this church and tell you how big a fool you made out of yourself in front of all those people. Your feelings will come and go. You need to know how to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ask him to save you? I said, yeah. He said, do you believe he did? I said, yeah. He said, then if you died right now, where are you going? I said, I'll be going to heaven. He said, that's faith. That's how you know you're saved. So now I'm in the faith. I need to know how to know I'm in the faith. So I examine myself. All the time I examine myself. Sometimes, well, like yesterday, I saw this thing on Facebook. This lady put something on there about tattoos. And I know about 50% of people have tattoos now, and you won't go to hell for having tattoos. But she said she didn't think it was proper for a Christian to go get tattoos. And I don't either. And she used the scriptures to prove it. And my sermon's not on that, so I'm not going to go all into that. But this other man put bad, mean comments on there about judging him by the way he looked. And she was pretty strong in her faith. She rebuked him and said, look, if you got all them things before you got saved, that's one thing. But after you get saved, you ought to be different. And he said again, you can't judge me. And she said, I don't have to judge you. I looked at your Facebook profile page with your middle finger sticking up at everybody that looks at your page. That's what judges you. And boy, they went on a conversation about that. Everybody's saying, you can't judge me. You can't examine me. You can't judge me. Now, I don't know anybody else's heart. You could be saved and be as backslid as the devil himself. Just be backslid. Nobody didn't even know you were saved. There's lots of times in the Bible that's happened. But you need to examine yourself, see. If it offends you that people say that you ought not do this, you ought not do that, they're judging you. Well, they are judging you. Everybody's judging you. They're judging me. They judge everybody else. We make judgments every day. And the Bible said just make sure they're righteous judgments. They're the right way. So I examine myself so you won't have to examine me. I test myself, my faith, so you won't have to test my faith. And see, doesn't matter what you think, what's the Bible say, see. Now I'm going to go to Dr. Tuttle and I'm going to let him examine me. And then when he gets through, I'm going to say, okay, Doc, what should I do? And then I can take it or leave it. I don't have to go by his results on his test, his exam about me. But when God says it, I have to take it. I can't leave it. So I kind of got about 3-4 scriptures here that I think would help people who are wondering if they're really saved, or maybe people who think they're saved, but they're not sure, and it appears that everybody's judging them for their company and their conduct. So, here's what I came up with. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. Now, what do, on my self test, my self exam, what do I look for? Now the doctor, he's got things he looks for. What do I look for? Okay, the first thing I'm going to look for, if I say I'm saved, I said I had an experience through the Holy Spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know I'm saved. Here's the first thing I'm going to look for in my life. My life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. For this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Now, the first question on a Christian concerning their test on whether or not they're saved is, are you obedient to the Lord? Are you obedient? Now, some people will say, well, I don't know whether I am or not. Well, then you're disobedient there, because the way you know is by you know the scriptures. And then also the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if you are disobedient, He will convict you. But the way he does that is not only by your failings. Your mama can convict you with your failings, but by the Word of God. He'll bring the Word to mind and the memory that you're not being obedient in that area. So, number one, if I'm going to test myself to see if I'm saved, I want to know, do I love the Lord enough that I obey Him? Now, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all fallen, but we get up. I disappointed my mama many times, but I always came back to mama. And I wanted to obey my mama. And the worst thing I could think of to hurt my mama was to be disobedient to her and break her heart. So I tried to be a good boy. I tried to do right. And when I didn't let her know it. But I can't do that with God because He knows when I'm not obedient. So I have to repent and come back to Him and say, God, I'm sorry. That's not what I want to be. Since I got saved, You gave me a new mind. You gave me a new heart. You gave me a new spirit. I don't want to be like that. That was the flesh. I let my flesh do that. I shouldn't have done that. Lord, forgive me. And then I'll get up and try to go on and do better. But if you can sin, it don't bother you at all. And you can fall and never get back up. I think you failed the test. Because he said that. For this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Now you can throw that thing up there and tell people, so you can't judge me. Who you are, judge not that thou shalt not, that you won't be judged. But let me tell you something. You didn't read the rest of the verse. He said you ought to judge by righteous judgment. What does the Bible say? That's how we judge. What does the Bible say? What I'm doing, does it agree with the Bible or does it go against the Word of God? So that's how we judge. And that's how God judges. So, number one, I look at myself, I say, well, if I'm disobedient, I'm probably not right with God, or either I'm not saved. And then I have to go on to figure that out. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Galatians chapter 3. Now, this goes right after obedience. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Now, he says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, the capital S, that's the Holy Spirit living in you, ministering to you, and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So then I say, well, am I obedient? Am I obedient? Now, why am I obedient? Is it because of faith in Christ, or is it because I'm trying to keep the Old Testament law? Now, the Old Testament says that I don't make marks on my body for the dead and all this stuff, you know. And it says a lot of things we'll not do. And I try to live up to that. But why am I doing that? Am I doing that because I think that's going to merit me salvation, that I'm going to be saved because I'm a good guy and I'm keeping the law of God, which you can't do and I can't do completely. We can't even keep the first commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. But listen, if I'm being obedient, that's a good sign. But why am I being obedient? Is it because of faith? Or is it because of law? Now, if it's because of faith, he says there in Galatians chapter 3, it's because the Holy Spirit is ministering to me. He's leading me, he's guiding me, he's teaching me, and he's reproving me and convicting me and comforting me. So, I'm trying to be obedient. Why am I trying to be obedient? Well, I'm trying to pass this test to see if I am saved. Well, you're being obedient. That's pretty good. You're doing the best you can. That's pretty good. You're keeping short accounts with God. That's good. That's good. You're confessing your sins every time you sin. You're trying to go on, trying to be good. But why? Is it because you believe that Jesus Christ has died for you and rose from the dead so you can be saved from your sin, and you're trying to live to please Him because you love Him? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and they're not grievous. Or are you trying to be good and be obedient because you think that's going to get you to heaven? You better be living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that'll cover those times you're not obedient. And when you are obedient, it's not getting you one more brick in your mansion in heaven. but it's getting you the blessings of God for being obedient. And then I thought about this. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 16. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That means it talks to us. A witness is somebody that makes a statement about something. And so he is bearing witness, he's speaking with my spirit, that we are, not maybe, could be, but that we are, because of what Jesus did in the past and how we accepted that, we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. That means we're going to inherit everything he does. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That's Romans 8, 16 and 17. Now, here's what that is. I understand that there's not only a physical test. Am I being obedient? Why am I being obedient? But there's also a spiritual test. There's a spiritual test. Does the Holy Spirit of God live in you? Have you received the Holy Spirit that he bears witness with your spirit? Now, Ephesians 2 says you were dead in trespass sin. So if you had to be born again. So if you wasn't born again, then you're still a dead man and your spirit cannot be ministered to by the Holy Spirit because it's still dead until you let the Holy Spirit revive it by the new birth. So how do I know I'm in the faith? What's my test? The test, one of the tests is obedience. The other test is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's why I try to be obedient. And then there's a spiritual test. Do I have a spiritual mind? Do I have a spiritual heart? Is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to my Holy Spirit through his holy word? And by his holy presence? Does he speak to me? And just as it says, the verse 15 says, for we have not received the spirit, small s, of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the only way you're going to be a child of God, he says here, is to be adopted by God. And that's the work of the Holy Ghost. By receiving Jesus Christ, he comes in and he becomes in your spirit, with your spirit, and he creates a new creature inside of you, and then that spirit communicates with your new spirit, and you know you're a child of God. Now, since I've been saved, I've doubted a lot of things. I've doubted a lot of things, but I have not doubted my faith, because the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit on my worst day when I could not pass the test. He was still there. He was still there. So, I'm talking about self-examination. Examine yourself for obedience. Apostle Paul said, examine yourself, a self-test. Test yourself for faith. Why are you obedient? Test yourself, see if you have spiritual life. You see, a dead spirit is never convicted of sin. And when it is reproved for sin, then that flesh will try to defend its actions, or in other words, its company and the way it behaves and who it runs around with and all these things. So the flesh does not like spiritual tests because it'll fail every time. There's no good thing, he said, in this flesh. Not one thing. This flesh is condemned. This flesh was born a sinner, and nobody had to teach it how to sin. That sin came from Adam. I have Adam's nature, and you do too. And now, if we go by this, this thing's always going to tell you a pretty good gal, pretty good guy, because it doesn't like being reproved, and it's easily offended. Watch out for those people who say they're Christians, and they're easily offended. The Bible says the brethren are not easily offended. And I've had people reprove me. And I just have to humble myself and say, if they're right, I have to humble myself and say, you know what, you're right. But by doing that, I passed a spiritual test, because if the Holy Spirit didn't live in me, I couldn't do that. And we know we're the sons of God because he lives in us. And then I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm talking about a spiritual test. You know, all of us have some kind of character. We have a spiritual character. We have a Christian character. We don't. And a lot of people don't know. They don't know that other people know by looking at them and watching them and talking to them what their character is. You know, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 15. Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Now, wait a minute, preacher. What does that fruits mean? Apple, orange? No. It means this. What do they produce? Apple tree produces apples. Orange tree produces oranges. Fruits. Pecan tree makes pecans or pecans, however you want to say it. And a Christian produces spiritual fruit, Christ-like fruit. We produce things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith, gentleness, all these things, because they're the fruit that God put in us, so they come out of us. That's what we produce. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Or figs of thistles? No, they're either going to gather grapes or they're going to gather thorns. Both of them ain't on the same tree. And then, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Now, as a Christian, I don't have much to claim for myself. Everything we see in each other ought to be Christ in us, the hope of glory. It ought to be him that you see, not us. And he's the one that produces the fruit through us. So therefore, listen now, listen real close. If he is in me, in the way of the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit's in there, and I'm being obedient, and I'm sure my faith is not law I'm trying to do, but trying to keep the faith in the power of Christ, and the Holy Spirit's in me, and I feel his presence, I feel his guidance, I feel conviction or comfort, then I should produce some fruit. And he says, that fruit is going to be good fruit. Now, there's not much any other way to say it other than a Christian produces Christ-like life, and a lost person produces sinful life like a lost person. That's two whole different trees. Now, it may be sometimes that a sinful person will do a good deed or try to do a good thing, but if they do, it's the fruit of selfishness, because when we did that as sinners, we thought that was going to merit us some favor with God, even though we sometimes wanted to say that wasn't it. Deep down inside, that really was it, selfishness. But as a Christian, the Holy Spirit produces fruit through us because it's him doing it, and we allow him to do it by being obedient, for knowing the faith in Christ and his power, and to recognize that his spirit lives in us. Now, that's fruit. We have to examine ourselves for fruit. People tell me sometimes, they'll say, well, I'm a Christian. I say, you are? And they'll say, yeah. I say, well, where do you go to church? They say, oh, I don't go to church. I got mad at church. I don't go. You don't need church. Or I'll say, well, do you read your Bible? No. I haven't read it in a long time, since I was a kid in Sunday school. Well, have you ever led anybody to Christ? Have you ever witnessed to people? No. I don't do that. Well, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Listen, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, no, I hate my neighbor. Well, I think you're failing the test, buddy. I think you're failing it. And I'm not the one that judges that. God's Word does. All I'm trying to do is help you with the Word of God. Now, as a Christian, I want to produce good fruit. I want to see people saved. I want to see people grow in the Lord. I want to see people learn the Bible. I want to see people love their family. I want to see children grow up right with God. So I'm going to try to be nice to people. I'm going to try to love people even when they're unlovable, because I used to be the same way. But I don't produce that fruit because that's what's getting me to heaven. I try to produce that fruit because I'm allowing the Holy Spirit in me to work through me. Now here's the way we ought to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now there's a certain sign that the Holy Spirit lives inside you right there. The Apostle Paul said, I'll be glad to be spent for you. In other words, I'll give my life for you. And he said, I'll spend for you. I'll spend my fortune for you. And then he says, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You see, the Christian life is not about how people return our obedience or our faith or how they view our spiritual test or our spiritual fruit. The Christian life is about loving people whether they love you back or not. Because see, we love him because he first loved us. And he said, so ought you to love one another. And he said, if any man says he loves God and he hates his brother, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. Now, when I got saved, God took all the hate out of me. I had a lot of hate in me. I had a lot of bad memories and things I didn't want to let go of. And God took every bit of that out of me and gave me the peace of God. Now, I can love people. Now, I can't be around everybody. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to run with that crowd. And don't tell me Jesus did. He did not. The only time he ran with that bad crowd, he didn't run with them. They ran to him. And he preached to them. He didn't run over every drunkard and become a drunkard and a druggie and become a druggie and a harlot and become a harlot. No, sir. He was a friend of sinners, but they came to him looking for the answers. And he gave them the answers. He did not excuse not one sin ever. He never did. He'd say, go and sin no more. And he'd say, if you love me, keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. So as Christians, the sure sign of the new birth is what I just read to you, that you will spend and you'll be spent and you know people will not appreciate it and you'll do it anyway for the love of Christ, that they might see Christ in you, the hope of glory. You'll witness to people that don't want to hear it. You'll talk to people that don't want to talk to you, and you know it. You'll visit people that don't want to be visited, and you know it. And you'll share scripture with people that do not want to hear that scripture. And you'll spend money. You'll buy people Bibles that really don't want your Bible. And you'll pay for gospel literature and give it to them, knowing they're going to throw it in the trash. And you're going to love people when they're the worst to you. You're still going to be your best to them. And you know what? They are examining you to see if you're really in the faith. And then later on, you're going to find them coming back to you and they're going to say, would you pray for me? Would you pray for my mama? Or they're going to get saved down the road and come back and apologize to you. And they're going to say, I watched a lot of people, but you were the only one that passed the test. That's why I listen to you. So I want to ask you today, tonight. Would you give yourself a test? Would you look at it through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit? Are you really in the faith, or are you just trying to keep the law? If you're in the faith, do you love Him enough to obey Him? And when you come short of that and you fall, do you love Him enough to ask Him to forgive you, apologize, and get back up and try again? Do you love others enough to be spent? Well, that's my message. I hope you stay safe this week. I hope you don't shake too many hands. If you do, I hope you wash. I'd hate for anybody to get sick. I don't know anybody that has it yet. There's some people in town that do. But you know what would be terrible? If you were not saved and you got this virus and you died and you done all that suffering in that sickness and died and went to hell and woke up in hell and suffered for the rest of eternity. Please don't go to hell. Call on Christ. Ask Him to save you. He'll do it. And then for you Christians, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to thee. And I thank you. Now I'm going to close in prayer. And as I do, I'm going to do this every time. Since you're not here, they're not here, I can't see people's hands. But if you're not saved tonight and you'd like to be saved, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to You knowing I am a sinner. I have sinned. But I'm sorry. And I know if I died right now, I would not go to heaven. But I want to. And I believe You died for my sins. And I believe You rose from the dead the third day. And Lord, You said if I'd call on You, You'd save me. And I'm calling on You right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name. Now, if you did that, you're just as saved as anybody that's ever been saved, if you meant it. And then, Christian, I want to pray for you. Father, bless our church. We're separated in space, but not in spirit. God, be with every one of them. You've been good to our church, Lord. All our church members, You've been good to us. So I pray this week You'd put a hedge around us and protect us. Keep us well. And thank You for what You're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can't shake your hand, but I'll shake my hand. See you later. Bye.